Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First of May, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio FM, where we run you through the main news of the day. So coming up before 5.30, Public Health Isle of Man says no measles cases have been reported over here as the number of infections rise in the UK. Also tonight, tributes are paid to Peel man Rob Farah RBV, who promoted the Manx language and was a long-standing advocate for the Parkinson Society on the island. He's died at the age of 71. We'll also find out what's been happening in Tynwald so far, and we'll bring you the very latest from the Island Games in Orkney. All that plus the traffic and the travel, the weather as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. You can email studio@manxradio.com or you can text us as well. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan. Fastamai.
The Cabinet Office has announced plans to cut back on the number of free phone helplines in a bid to save around £320,000 a year. But several Tynwald members voiced concern, like Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper, who warned it could hurt those on low incomes.
If you're someone that has no credit on your phone and can barely afford credit on your phone, this actually is unaffordable. So then you have to drag yourself physically to the surgery, which is quite difficult, actually, if you're a vulnerable person, if you're already quite unwell.
A motion is expected to come to Tynwald in October, when politicians will formally vote on the proposal. Public Health Isle of Man says it hasn't been notified of any measles cases in the island. It says it's aware of the rising number of cases of the disease in the UK, especially in London and Merseyside, particularly after reports of a death of a child at Alder Hey. The Enterprise Minister has defended the government's appointment process after the chair of Visit Isle of Man resigned after just 9 months in the job. Andrew McNess stepped down shortly after a whistleblower dossier linked him to past involvement in council-owned companies subject to ongoing fraud investigations in England. Tributes are being paid to a leading figure in Manx archaeology who's died at the age of 71. Rob Farah's efforts saw him awarded the Isle of Man's highest cultural honour in 2009. Following his own diagnosis, Rob Farah was also a tireless campaigner for better support for Parkinson's disease.
Because my mother had Parkinson's, and all those symptoms I was experiencing that time were the same. And like men, they won't go and get it sorted. It took me 2 years.
And over in Orkney, our Manx athletes have added two more gold medals to their Island Games tally after wins in the cycling. The Isle of Man now sits top of the medal table with 5 golds, 4 silvers and 3 bronzes. In international news, a couple who went on the run in 2023 with their newborn daughter have been convicted of her manslaughter. Constance Martin and her partner Mark Gordon already had their 4 previous children taken into care. The UK Prime Minister says his thoughts are with the families and loved ones of the 4 people who were killed in a plane crash at Southend Airport. And Greg Wallace says he's deeply sorry for any distress caused after a report upheld 45 out of 83 allegations against him. They're your headlines. I'll have your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry with sunny spells to start tonight, then a small risk of the odd shower this evening. Rain will arrive overnight, though. That could be heavy at times. Fresh to strong south or southwest winds, minimum temperatures 12, so much colder than it was last night. It's going to be wet tomorrow morning. Outbreaks of rain, they will be heavy at times, but they will clear to the odd shower in the afternoon. Fresh, locally strong southwest winds and a top temperature of 18 Celsius. And then for Wednesday, dry with sunny spells. Sunset this evening, 9:45. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 5:04.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasala creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you, serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit The Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys, your fast, reliable locksmiths 24/7. Homes, cars and bikes, Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that, an affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
It's exactly 5 past 5. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. Lovely to have you with us. Well, Public Health Isle of Man have told us today that it hasn't been notified of any measles cases on the island. This is after the death of a child at Alderhay, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Public Health says it's aware of the rising number of cases of the disease in the UK, especially in London and Merseyside. It's working with health partners to monitor the situation and increase the island's preparedness in the event of any cases here. Measles can be particularly serious for people in certain at-risk groups, including babies and small children, pregnant women, and people with weakened immunity. Public Health says it can spread very quickly in places such as nurseries, schools and healthcare settings if people have not had 2 doses of the measles, mumps and rubella vaccine, otherwise known as the MMR jab. It usually starts with cold-like symptoms, a high temperature, a runny or blocked nose, sneezing, a cough, red sore or watery eyes, followed by a non-itchy red-brown rash about 3 to 5 days later. Some people may also get small white spots in their mouth. If you suspect you or a family member has the disease, you should see your GP, but call ahead first before attending the surgery.
Amy Griffiths reporting. You can find that full report at manxradio.com. Now, Logan Air says it has identified important lessons after recent flight disruptions saw Manx medical patients spend the night at Liverpool John Lennon Airport. Lewis Foster has this report.
Poor weather saw a transfer flight to Ronald Way Airport cancelled on the 25th of June. Manx Care acknowledged communication could have been better after claims the passengers weren't aware they could have arranged for a hotel room that night and reclaimed the cost. Carol Mayle, the Vice President of Man in Cancers and creator of the Isle of Man patient transfer page on Facebook, told us what happened.
One of them had had a knock that day, still had a drip in, and another one had very, very bad cancer, just was very ill. And they lay on the floor in the airport all night. They couldn't use the quiet rooms because they locked all that off. And then in the morning, the flight was cancelled again. It's just, it's an impossible situation.
Well, Liverpool John Lennon Airport also told us the responsibility for organising overnight accommodation for passengers in such situations lies with the airline and their handling agent Swissport. It appears that this wasn't communicated to all passengers. It too says the matter is being investigated. Meanwhile, Loganair, the provider for non-urgent patient transfer air services for Manx Care, says it's working closely with the health body and its airport handling partners to ensure that if future weather diversions occur, passengers receive the highest level of communication and care. It says the shared priority is to ensure passengers receive clear, timely communication and compassionate support throughout their journey. The airline adds, "We recognise that travel can be a challenging time for patients, and together we've identified important lessons that will shape and improve the passenger experience moving forward."
Lewis Foster with that report there. It is coming up to 5:08, and the final Timwolds sitting of the legislative year is underway. The bumper order paper means it has started a day earlier than usual. To find out how today has been going, we're joined now live by Christian, who's been in the chamber all day. Christian, some interesting debates and certainly questions this morning so far. I mentioned that bumper paper. There really is quite a lot to get through.
Yeah, absolutely. There is quite an enormous amount to get through. Even the president told members that maybe they should get their shoes on if they want to go home on Friday. I think we've got 46, I think, was the number items on the order paper in total. Obviously, there are about 27 questions as well, we think.
We seem to be losing Christian there. It's all the excitement. We'll come back to him in just a moment. But first now, a man who headbutted a police sergeant while he was being arrested during a domestic disturbance has been jailed for 2 years and 2 months. 25-year-old Morgan Askew admitted lunging at the officer while he was being put in handcuffs before directing racial slurs at him and attempting to spit in his face. Sean Cowper has the details.
Douglas Courthouse heard police had gone to the property on the 14th of May after receiving 2 calls from the address, including one from himself claiming his brother had pulled a knife on him. BBC Isle of Man reports Deemster Graham Cook said it was a savage offence on an officer who was carrying out public service. Askew pleaded guilty to inflicting grievous bodily harm at an earlier hearing. The court heard police had been sent to the home in Gorscroft in Douglas at about 8:30 p.m. after receiving the calls. The first was from the 25-year-old's mother, who said he'd assaulted his younger brother, with the second made by Askew himself, claiming he'd been threatened with a knife. After speaking to Askew's mother, who was inside the family home, the police sergeant told him he was going to be arrested, but the officer was headbutted as he tried to handcuff him, the court heard. Other officers intervened and Askew was taken to the ground and restrained, at which point he threatened the sergeant, shouting, "I'm going to bite your nose, I'm going to kill you." The court heard the headbutt had caused a 1.6-inch gash above the left officer's eye, which needed stitches. The court was told the injured officer had been left with a very noticeable scar in a very prominent place on his face. Askew had previous convictions for common assault and was subject to a suspended sentence when the offence was committed. Jailing him, Deemster Cook said the officer was simply doing his job, and Askew's alcohol consumption had been out of control on the day the assault happened. He hadn't done anything wrong. He was simply met by absolute brutality from you, the Deemster said.
That was Sean Cowper reporting. 11 minutes past five, and there have been warm tributes paid to a Manxman, Rob Farrer, who played key roles in excavations at Peel Castle, Castle Rushen and Rushen Abbey, and also worked so hard for charity as well. Here's John Moss.
Culture Vannon has described Rob Farrer, who was awarded the Ray Blaenor Van Annan in 2009 and was 71 years old, as a true legend of Manx studies. In archaeology, his field-walking efforts led to the identification of the Balao Neolithic complex, while his leadership of the Manx Metal Detecting Club in the 1980s saw the recovery of a large medieval coin hoard. When a 14th-century bishop's seal was discovered by a metal detector, he was there. Andy Faulkner made the once-in-a-lifetime discovery when out searching with Rob, who said afterwards, "I've been a metal detectorist for 30 years and couldn't believe it. I honestly think it's the most important object to be found in the island this century, and certainly the only one of its kind." He was described as being extremely generous in sharing his knowledge. If he ever started to talk about an idea over half a shandy in the pub, people tended to listen. His enthusiasm and storytelling drew people in. Rob loved people and life, past and present.
So they were so excited by finds that they made and discoveries made. And so got that a silvery feel for the finds that I've seen.
When he developed symptoms of Parkinson's disease, he was determined to fight for the rights of fellow sufferers. He handed over a petition for redress of grievance at Tynwald Hill, calling for an increase in weekly incapacity benefit. He also staged a peaceful protest with banners and balloons and invited people with chronic illnesses and their carers to support him. He admitted he delayed in dealing with his personal illness.
Because my mother had Parkinson's, and all those symptoms I was experiencing that time were the same. And like men, they won't go and get it sorted. It took me 2 years. But the specialist said that the 2 years wouldn't have mattered, but looking back on it, I could have taken medication earlier, which proves that your mobility lasts longer when it's taken earlier.
His friends say he never complained about having Parkinson's, despite it restricting his activities in later years. Instead, he continued to explore myriad strands of Manx history and archaeology, drawing upon his knowledge, experience and intuition. Rob Farrer, who has died.
John Moss reporting following the death of Rob Farrer, RBV, at the age of 71. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 13 minutes past five. I'm delighted to say we can head back down to the Tynwald Chamber now and rejoin Christian. I don't know, some gremlins going on there, Christian. But we were just saying there's been an awful lot happening so far today, and it's just day one of this Tynwald sitting.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry about that, Beth. I was sat in what can only be described as a dungeon, and the internet appeared to drop. So as I was saying, we've got a mammoth order paper to get through. 43 items altogether, which is almost unheard of, really, but I suppose most politicians are trying to cram everything in before the recess. There was a 28-question order paper, a question paper as well. We didn't manage to get through all of that, which was actually kind of surprising. Some MHK case did come up to me afterwards and question why that was the case, that this is the last opportunity to do questions before the recess, and they voted not to continue or complete the question paper. I think there were about 12 which they didn't get through, which actually some fun trivia for you. Back in 2011, there was a study done which they kind of came to the conclusion that each question equated to around about £90, which in today's money would be around about £140. So I'll let you do the maths. That's about 12 questions that we didn't get to hear from. So that's where we're up to at the moment. We've just finished the vote on the Manx Care supplementary bid. £15.3 million has now been approved. We'll have more on that in the coming days, I would imagine.
And as you say, I mean, I'm still trying to do the maths there, Christian. That's going to take me some time. But some key items are coming up. And I think the interesting point is that this is the last sitting of the legislative year. And it seems a lot of members do want to get up and have their say on things.
Yeah, absolutely. Surprisingly, the supplementary vote to give Manx Care an extra £15.3 million only was about an hour and a half long, which if you compare that with the Manx Care mandate and operating plan debate, which lasted more than 10 hours, this one was fairly small in comparison. But politicians definitely did not reserve their remarks. So we had one instance where Arbury Castletown and Malou MHK Tim Glover was actually shouting that Manx Care needed to get its act together. The comments throughout were fairly similar, that every single year we're back again for extra money, and the kind of underlying theme was, where do we draw the line? In addition, we also had a statement from the Cabinet Office Minister about government planning to scrap free calls to certain services, things like GP surgeries, the Jerby Health and Community Centre, the Meds Out of Hours service, the Emergency Department, Nobles Hospital switchboards, and also the Job Centre would be removed from the free to call, which attracted some scrutiny, and that's also available at manxradio.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Christian. They've had their tea and biscuits. What item are they resuming on?
I think we are, let me just quickly find the page. We're on item 6, which is a review into the current methodology of agreeing proposals in respect of the minimum wage, and its link with the living wage. So very sexy.
Very, very indeed. And it's 1080, by the way. Just I did work that out myself. Christian Jones from the Tynwald Chamber, thank you so much. And we will keep you up to date with what is happening down there. You can find all the very latest stories at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing to report on the police pages as yet. There was that RTC around the airport, but that has been cleared now, we understand. Looking down at the airport with regard to flights, a slight delay on the Edinburgh flight this evening, but otherwise all looking OK. And the steam packet all looking good as well. The Manxman due into Douglas around about 6:05. And the Manana is on its way to Liverpool. It's going to get there at 6:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
It is coming up to 5:18. Now, the Manx National Farmers Union says it welcomes the proposal mooted by the operators of the meat plant for an open meeting with local producers. The Isle of Man Meat Company recently published a report on progress made since the new board took over in late September, in which it highlighted a number of key achievements and stated the door is open for dialogue with producers. MNFU General Secretary Sarah Comish has told Manx Radio the union looks forward to taking part in an open forum at which issues of mutual interest can be discussed. Simon Richardson reports.
It was in August last year the union wrote an open letter to the plant's management, making it clear that the consequence of the continued mismanagement of Isle of Man Meats Limited could no longer be borne by the industry. In a damning indictment of the company, the union stated that under the stewardship of the board, the once excellent reputation of Manx Meat had all but been destroyed. Fast forward to today, and the new board at the meat company, which took over in late September last year, says the business is now on much firmer ground with a clearer direction and a focus on practical improvement. Plant efficiency has been improved with fewer breakdowns and a much faster throughput of cattle. General manager at the plant, Michael Barker, says progress made is just the beginning and sales are closer to covering costs, and the door is now open for dialogue with producers. A date for an open meeting with producers is yet to be finalised, but Manx Radio understands it could take place before the end of this month.
That is Simon Richardson reporting there. Well, it is 20 past five and we are on day three of the Island Games in Orkney. Some fantastic performances from the Manx athletes so far. And I'm delighted to say that for the very latest now, we can join sports editor Rob Pritchard. Rob, it's been quite a day.
It has indeed, yes. Fasta Mai, welcome to the Pikkakoi Centre Athletics Track. And I'm just watching Alabama athlete Corin Leeming go past me as we speak. He and Jordan Kane competing in the men's 10,000 metre race at this moment. Well, the Isle of Man has taken 8 medals already today in Orkney. 6 of those have come in gymnastics on gymnastics opening day. Harry Ayres, he took gold in the high bar, silver in the floor routine and bronze in the vault. Elsewhere, there were silvers for Ewan McElraith and Fraser McKenna in the rings and vault disciplines, respectively, and a bronze as well for Leon Martin in the parallel bars. Elsewhere, it's been double gold success for the Isle of Man cycling team in the men's time trial today. Tyler Hannay taking individual gold, and also the Isle of Man team of Hannay, as well as Mark Hosthouse, Niall Quiggin, Callum Salisbury and Ivan Sorby took team gold as well. We've already mentioned what's going on right now is in terms of athletics. The Isle of Man badminton team is currently taking part in the bronze medal match in the team event against Menorca. They were a set up just a few minutes ago. And looking ahead to tonight as well, swimmers are in action. 7 Manx swimmers, to be precise, involved in tonight's finals from 6:15. They are Zoe Newitt, Alex Turnbull, Laura Kinley, Joel Watterson, Harry Robinson, Kira Prentice and Lauren Dennett. And it just means that no matter what happens by the end of play this evening, the Isle of Man is going to be right toward the sharp end of the medal table going into tomorrow's action.
Isn't that brilliant? And you were just mentioning the gymnastics there, and I think it's worth pointing out, you mentioned Leon Martin, who got bronze. I mean, he's just 15 years of age. We know there are some young athletes out there and they're just doing incredibly well.
They are indeed. When we speak of the gymnastics teams, the gymnastics teams that the Isle of Man has, one of the real headlines this year is actually in the women's events. A young girl called Phoebe Christian, who became eligible to take part in the Island Games on the day of the opening ceremony. Talk about running it close. But a lot of young names and a lot of young faces in that gymnastics squad, but already we're seeing them having some great success over here in Orkney.
And Rob, you're doing a fantastic job keeping us up to date. We've obviously got the blog, all the latest news is on our Facebook sports page as well.
Absolutely it is. If you want to follow anything around Team Isle of Man during the 2025 Island Games, we at Manx Radio have got you covered. As Beth has mentioned there, we have our dedicated live Island Games blog running daily right up until the final day on Friday the 18th of July, bringing you all the updates, news, interviews and more as and when they happen. And don't forget to follow Manx Radio Sport on Facebook as well for all the latest interviews coming from the Island Games here in Orkney, and also head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com.
And you've been hobnobbing with all sorts, including Lorraine Kelly.
Indeed, during the opening ceremony, she gave us a couple of minutes of her time, and it was nice to hear from her as well, how she clearly has embraced the community spirit of the Island Games as well. It's one thing she made clear in her presentation as well, along with Stuart Bain, who was another special guest, someone well known here around these parts, was taking part in the opening ceremony, and they all seemed to, and Lorraine included as well, really seemed to have captured the essence of it. We saw Lorraine Kelly as well soaking up the atmosphere at the triathlon yesterday as well, where Isle of Man's Clara Isaac won individual bronze in the women's race. So it's great to see that all these people involved, along with, it must be said, Her Royal Highness the Princess Royal, who officially opened the Island Games at the opening ceremony on Saturday as well, all embracing the culture around this and being sat here right now just watching this race in this packed, and I must say packed, athletics stadium. Beautiful weather here. What's not to like?
Absolutely. Just make sure you get some sleep, Rob. Thank you so much for talking to us. And Rob will be back on Breakfast with the team tomorrow, so you'll have the very latest about what's happening there. But do head over to our website and our social media pages where you can keep up to date with how our athletes are doing. And we're going to stay with sport now because FC Isle of Man has confirmed the appointment of former Altrincham FC co-chair Lawrence Looney to its board. Mr. Looney, alongside FC Isle of Man vice chair Lee Dixon, have been telling the club's media what they're hoping to achieve from here.
I decided at that point, after 7 very successful years and still liked by the fans, that it was a good time to move on. Wasn't sure what to do. I think that the announcement on Altrincham went out, and about 10 seconds later Dicko called me and was kind of requesting a meeting, and we had some good conversations. And as it's my home, I thought, if I'm going to go into football and stay in football, this is a great next step for me. And my job really is to do a full review of everything that's going on at the moment, take as much of that information as possible and really initially build out a kind of three-year plan broken down to what we need to do in the next year. So what I can hopefully do is give the club a long-term strategy, but it's not the kind of thing you can do overnight. It will take a good few months. The board have absolutely committed to giving me that support, and you know, hopefully at the end of that we'll have a clear plan that says what we're going to be like in 3 years, 5 years, and hopefully beyond that.
I think it's a known fact that we live hand to mouth, really. It's difficult keeping the club here year on year, and there's an awful lot amount of work goes into it, but we're in a firefighting situation constantly, and there's obviously only so long you can do that for, and it tires you out, it takes away your energy. Everyone in the club feels that, so I think we recognise that we need to go to the next phase, and that's ultimately to build a strategy that's going to move us away from firefighting and make us become more sustainable, where we can plan 3, 5, 10 years ahead, hopefully. And Lawrence has obviously got that on his CV with Lancaster City first of all, and now Altrincham, and so tapping into his expertise from our perspective is a no-brainer.
That's Lee Dixon and also Lawrence Looney there talking about that appointment to the FC Isle of Man board. Well, lots going on, isn't there, around the island at the moment? Obviously, Tynwald is ongoing this evening. If you'd like to listen to that, you can tune in on our website. And we'll also bring you an updated report every day about what's been happening down there. As we say, that is a bumper sitting this month. Also, if you can't listen to the whole of the Tynwald sitting, why not? But if you can't, then at the end of every sitting, we do a Tynwald in brief. And that really is just a culmination of everything, all the main points that have been discussed and some of the main questions that have been there as well. And you'll be able to find that after the sitting has finished towards the end of this week in our Manx newscast section. And just a reminder, as I say, that Rob is doing an absolutely sterling job out there in Orkney, just covering as many events as he can, keeping us right up to date with how our athletes are doing. And so do go and check out the Manx Radio Facebook sports page, because that is where all the very latest details are posted. It's got great videos on there as well, so well worth checking out. But that is all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company. Do remember that we've got breakfast from 6 with Ben and the team tomorrow, so they'll have the very latest to say from Rob, but also some really interesting points from Tynwald today, including something about footpaths as well. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil, and there's an in-depth interview with the Cabinet Officer, David Ashford. Then it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinney from 6, it's Time for Brass with Ian Cottier from 9, and then Dave Moore will be with you from 10 with After Hours. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. The weather looking all right at the moment, but yeah, you probably don't need to water the garden tonight, so all is well there. We'll catch you again tomorrow.